My mom used to can things, so
yeah,
jams, chow chow.
Yeah, my grandma does that. That's how I know about the pectin. Yep. Okay.
One of the many things Carol does.
Oh, Carol. Hi, welcome to not serial killers.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Is that what you, do you have that on I the top of your? I have that
on notes? The top of my list.
We're not that anymore.
Nope. Welcome to Eat Crime,
a podcast full of delicious mysteries.
I'm Amy,
and I'm Caitlin,
and we are gonna continue on our, should we call it retro stories, our throwbacks. Our throwback stories. This is a story. Sure. These are some stories that we've covered before, back in the day, and we're
back in the day, less than a year ago.
That is crazy.
I know, we've come so far in less than a year.
We're gonna cover some celebrity stories today.
Some celebrity murder stories. Are they celebrities that murdered? Are they murdered celebrities?
Are they celebrities that got murdered? Did they do the murdering?
That's what I just said.
To murder or to be murdered?
That is the question. Everybody has to face those two choices.
What was the title of this when we did it before?
I believe it was Fame, You're Not Gonna Live Forever.
Oh, that was good. That was a good one.
Yep. Back
it's
when we started,
sad, though.
I know. Back when we started the episodes with our taglines for, you know, different episodes, I believe you shouted Fame. And then
that's
I said,
where it came
You're
from.
Not gonna live forever.
Yeah. Aha. I don't
in
even
the echo
know.
Of the public basement.
I don't remember what. Yeah, with a haunted train rolling by and some
the
sirens.
Demon noises coming from the bricks, yeah. And the maintenance men that would come take out the trash while we talked about
murder. We've come so
and
far.
And here we are in our own studio.
Yeah.
Still in a basement, just a private one.
Yeah. I mean, Microsoft started in like a garage, so.
I think Apple did too.
Maybe Microsoft started in a basement. Apple started in a garage.
Any secluded place is a good idea.
Yeah. Seclusion is key.
Not for murder, though. We're not talking about that. Don't murder people.
Don't murder. I don't even know who your celebrity is. I forgot.
Her name is Adrienne Shelley.
Oh, that's right. Man, I totally forgot about that. Well, tell me about poor Adrienne.
All right. So if you don't know Adrienne Shelley, because I didn't before I wrote this story, she was born Adrienne Levine on June 24th, 1966, so happy belated birthday.
Yeah. What? When was she born? June what?
24th.
Oh, yeah.
1966,
yeah,
that was last week.
Just a few days ago. I knew Adrienne Shelley from Waitress.
Yeah, I think that's probably her most common.
And it's not even a very popular movie.
It's now a popular musical, but...
Is it really?
You've never heard of the musical Waitress?
No.
Oh, it's very popular. Jordan Sparks played the main role. The woman Colleen from Miranda Sings played the main role at one point in time. I think.
Is it on Broadway?
Yeah, I think Emmy Rossum maybe played
what?
The lead.
No.
Yeah, is it the same one?
Where she's a waitress and she makes pies?
Yes.
And her husband's abusive?
Oh, well, I don't know that part, but...
And she's, like, building up enough money to be able to leave her husband and start her own pie shop, and then she's pregnant.
Oh, Sarah Bareilles wrote the music for it.
What? There's so many things I don't know. Wow.
I'm trying to see who,
That's cool, because I love that movie. I haven't seen it in so, so long. But I saw it in theaters when it came out.
Oh, wow.
At this really, like, this kind of podunk. Well, it's not podunk. It's actually more the opposite of podunk. It's like, we're too good to show films like regular movies theaters do.
No.
So we're just going to show, like, kind of independent films that, like, Sundance really liked.
Catherine McPhee, that's who played Jenna.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that movie. Wow.
Who else played Jenna? Let me see.
Who was the one that played it in the movie? What was her name? I can picture her face. But
yeah,
I
can see
her
face. And she's been in several other, like, romantic movies. This is how every episode has begun so far. We just get lost. And last time it was discovering that Twinception book that was written by Tian Tamara.
Yes.
We're just really throwing it back for you guys.
It is. It is a musical. Like, it is more well known for the musical than it is for the movie.
Yeah. I don't think many people would know the movie.
Did the movie come out? Yeah, the movie came out way before. Because the first time it was made. I want to sing about Pi. Who played Jenna in Waitress?
I'm looking at a slideshow.
I'm trying to load the movie. That is insane. I can't believe that this is real. Oh, and she also directed the movie, Adrienne Shelley.
Yeah.
Directed the movie too. And she wrote it. She wrote it, directed it, and was in it.
And look at it now. It's a Broadway musical.
Wow. What was her name? Carrie Russell. She's the one that plays Jenna.
What else was she in?
She was in, what is this? In a really well-known, I think she was in Saved by the Bell. Hold, please. She was in Seventh Heaven. She was in something called The Babysitter's Seduction. I don't know what that is.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, she was in Boy Meets World.
Who'd she play in Boy Meets World?
It was in one episode.
Oh.
In 1993.
I was like, I've seen every episode of that show.
Right, me too.
Why can't I find the list of people who played Jenna?
Oh, I found it. I'll tell you. Let's see. On Broadway, Jesse Mueller, Desi Oakley. I don't really know. I don't really know what that means.
Oh, yeah. Sarah Bareilles, Betsy Wolfe.
Sarah Bareilles played her?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, Jason Mraz was
played it? Jenna?
No. Wasn't it for a little bit?
Oh, as the husband? Or the doctor?
It doesn't say.
Oh.
Oh, and then Jason Mraz and Sarah Bareilles. Sarah Bareilles again, apparently. Catherine McPhee.
This is very
Nicolette Robinson. Shoshana Bean. Jordan Sparks. Yeah, I think like when they toured, I mean, I haven't seen the musical, but I think when they toured, they did like celebrity guesting on it. So there was a lot of people who did it for like a week or a month or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So this, I've learned so much.
An informative true crime snack comedy podcast.
Yeah.
We need more than one category.
We fit into all categories.
All right. Are you ready to hear more about Adrienne Shelley?
I'm ready to hear about
Adrienne
Shelley.
Now that we've gone over the entire history of Waitress. So I haven't even finished the first line.
Okay.
Besides,
cool.
Happy belated birthday. She was born in Queens, New York.
Okay.
She grew up with two brothers and her parents on Long Island. But even though her name was Adrienne Levine, her stage name was Adrienne Shelley. She was an actress, as we already discussed, a director and a screenwriter.
I wish I had a stage name. I don't know. I wish I
Isn't there like a formula?
I'd be called like, there's a restaurant down here that I have often thought would be a good stage name. Fatty Smokes. I'm smoking. I'm Fatty Smokes.
Fatty Smokes.
Yeah, it's a barbecue place, but.
let's see. Stage name generator. Let's see what our stage
name
would be.
Oh, good.
Oh, your guide to choosing a stage name. Here we go. Oh, this is not for celebrities.
Oh, is it like for strippers or
yes.
something? Yeah.
Maybe this random generator will give us our stage names.
Did you look at fantasy name generator?
Yeah.
All
right, let's see. What are these 10 random names I've been given? All right, so you get on that website.
The fantasy name generator?
Yeah.
I don't understand how it works.
Well, it just gives you 10 random names.
Yeah.
So click get female names.
Yeah.
And then we'll read our chosen.
Oh, one of them is Amy.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Perfect. So these are the 10 names that have been chosen for you by the generator. What are they?
Dawn Marshall. These aren't fun at
okay.
all.
Okay. No, I think that's cool.
Maya Shannon.
I don't like that one.
Diana Mercury. I like Ooh. That one. I really like that
Diana
one.
Diana Mercury. That sounds like a cool scientist lady.
Yeah. Gloria Madison. Louise Worth. Gina Pink.
Oh, no. No, I think it's Gina.
It's Gina. That's a terrible name. Oh, gosh.
I think that's your stage that's name. That's it. Gina Ping. Gina Ping.
Oh, gosh. Hazel Bloom. I kind of like that
okay,
one.
Okay, that's fun.
Abby Sean. I don't know about that one. Amy Shannon.
Again with the Shannon.
Yeah. And Anna White.
Ooh, I like that one.
That's kind of like Vanna White.
Vanna
White. Anna White.
All right, so I have Melody Evans, Ivy Edwards, which that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That sounds very prep school. Erin Douglas, Alicia Lane, Melissa Murray. I got a Louise, too. Louise Chandler.
Oh, I like that one.
Desiree Joy.
Oh.
Lucy Paul. That's cute. Allison Faye and Alexa Wood. I feel like yours are better.
I redid it and it came up with Hazel Lover.
Oh, yes. That sounds like an AIM Scream name.
And a
Hazel Lover 224.
Yeah. Deborah Spice. You don't watch The Office, but if anybody out there is listening and they watch The Office, there's this episode where Michael, I'm assuming everybody knows who Michael Scott is. I mean, it's kind of an iconic
yes, I
character.
Do.
Okay. He says he decides he's going to get online and make an account. Like a dating account, and his screen name is, he says, I made it Little Kid Lover, so people know right, know exactly where I'm at in life.
I think I've seen that episode.
No,
Michael.
No.
Not that. So I clicked on Get Male Names, and I think if I ever became a celebrity, I would choose a boy's name and just do one of those, like, I don't know, gender neutral things.
Yeah.
Because these are so much better.
Yeah.
Jackson Kingsley.
Oh.
Bruce Hammond, which I feel like is a real celebrity's name. That name sounds familiar for some reason. Timmy
Kiss. I think
that's
the point, is that you're supposed to have ones that like kind of sound familiar, but you couldn't like, you know.
Timmy Kiss.
Ooh, Timmy Kiss.
Sean Harris. Andre Earle.
Ooh.
Casey Carey. That one's fine.
Yeah, I like that one.
This one's my favorite. Jonah Mercury.
Oh, we could be Jonah and Diane Mercury.
Michael Starr,
ooh.
Darren Fair, and Ethan Skye.
Mm.
I like those much better.
I clicked on it and I got Roland Fierce.
Oh my gosh, that's it. Roland Fierce.
Roland Fierce.
And Roland Fierce and Jonah Mercury.
Yeah.
Here with Eat Crime.
I like the neutral names too because you get things like Denny Blade.
Denny Blade. Oh, I got Danny Bloom.
Robin Dreamer.
Joe Little.
Quinn Rock.
Rory Cole. Ooh, Val Foster. That's fun.
Yeah, that
And I got Jean Mercury. I really like Mercury.
Yeah, me too.
Giving me Freddy vibes.
All right. Maybe we should get back to Adrian Shelley.
I can generate famous names all day long.
I know.
Okay, so sorry. It's really early in the morning. We're easily distracted. Okay, so besides Waitress, she's also well-known for Truth, I'll Take You There, and Sudden Manhattan.
Oh, I like that name. Sudden Manhattan.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's Manhattan.
Ah, suddenly you're in Manhattan.
I like that Suddenly Salad thing they used to make where it was like Suddenly Salad, and you're like, salad.
You just like pour the spice packet in. Oh my gosh, suddenly it's salad.
Yeah.
So she started acting when she was 10, and she had her first professional show in a production of Annie when she was in high school. She majored in film production at Boston University, but she never actually finished the degree. A theme in my stories.
Yes, and my life.
Oh. No, you have some degrees that have been finished. At least
one. Just one. Well, two, I guess. I guess two.
A degree and a certification.
Yeah.
Almost two certifications if you took your CT registry.
If I just get it together, yeah.
She married Andy Ostroy in 1994. He was the chairman and CEO of a marketing firm, so really good move on her part.
Yeah.
They had a daughter, Sophie, and she was born in 2003. If you've ever seen pictures of them, there's probably one on our Instagram. They're a really cute family. Their pictures are all so smiley together.
No.
Besides acting in films, she also guest starred in several TV shows, and she acted in plays. So she was definitely a triple threat, you know, singer, actor, dancer.
Yeah.
She was pretty and obviously a mom, and
that's like a quadruple or quintuplet threat.
Quintuple threat. And she was not only an actor, singer, dancer, she was a producer, a writer.
Director.
Really just a well-rounded woman.
Yeah. She had a lot of talents.
What a life. She wrote and directed I'll Take You There. And we also spoke earlier about how she wrote and directed Waitress, but she also designed the set and the costumes. And then she acted in it. So basically, this is a one-woman show.
Yeah.
And it's great.
And she didn't even star in it. I mean, honestly, she could have.
Right.
Like, she seems to have that talent. She could have starred in it, too.
So, spoiler alert, this story ends with murder.
As most of them do.
Yes. And Waitress was actually released after her death in 2007. That's when it was released, not when she died. So November 1st, 2006, at 5:45 p.m., Shelley is found by her husband hanging from the shower curtain rod by a bedsheet. She had an apartment in Manhattan that she used as an office, and her husband had dropped her off there around 9:30, and he hadn't heard from her all day, so he had asked the doorman to go into the apartment along with him, because I guess he was kind of scared of what he might find.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Yeah. But also, I kind of feel like that was sort of a weird situation. Why would you ask the doorman and not, like, a security guard? Because the doorman, I don't think, is taught how to deal with situations like what they walked into.
Well, did they have security guards?
At an apartment complex? I would hope so.
I don't have any security guards.
Well, that's terrifying.
Well, I also don't have a doorman. I mean, we have maintenance guys, but they're not there all the time.
They go to the public basement, and that's it.
Yeah.
So police believe that she had taken her own life, obviously, as, you know, police would jump to that conclusion.
Yeah, kind of looks like that.
But there was report of money missing from her wallet or purse or whatever, and the door had also been unlocked. I don't know if she typically locked the door when she got to the apartment, but it was unlocked. Ostroy said that his wife was happy and wouldn't have done something like that, because she would have been leaving her two-year-old daughter.
Yeah, that's a big indicator of probably not.
He didn't think she would have done something like that.
Yeah.
The official cause of death was neck compression, but Ostroy protested enough to get the entire case reexamined because he's a good husband who didn't murder his wife.
I love those.
Me too. I don't love murder.
But no, I love it when husbands don't murder.
I do love an advocate for justice.
The victim, yeah.
Investigators went back to the bathroom and found a footprint in gypsum dust, which is like when they're doing drywall and stuff. That's gypsum.
Oh, were they doing construction somewhere?
Yeah, so they matched the footprint to someone who had been doing construction in the apartments. And he was actually working on the day of Shelley's death. November 6th, 2006. Didn't we have a September 6th, 2006?
Yes.
Oh, here we are.
And the first time that this episode previously aired was September 6th.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Have fun. So on November 6th, 2006, press reported that Diego Pilco, a 19-year-old construction worker, was arrested for the murder.
19?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He apparently had confessed on tape to attacking her and staging the suicide. His first confession stated that Shelley asked if the construction noise could be kept down, and Pilco threw a hammer at her in fear that she'd make a complaint and he would be deported.
Do we need to point out the glaringly obvious ironicism.
Irony?
Irony. Ironicism of that. If she complains about the noise I'm making, just doing my job.
She's going to report me,
and then I'll have to leave. But if I throw this hammer at her.
If I kill her.
That will make all my problems go away.
Yeah, see, I mean, I feel like that goes into the brain of a 19-year-old boy.
Probably, because they are not smart.
You know, if you don't know much about the brain and its development, a male brain does not stop growing and developing until
maturing
mid-20s to late 20s. That's why the stereotype / evidence
truth
shows that younger boys are quick to make rash decisions
without thinking about the
future.
Their
frontal lobe, which is the lobe that makes decisions between good and bad, is not functioning.
It's not fully developed yet
to its proper function.
Yeah.
Which
is also why it's kind of crazy that we insist upon 17 and 18 year olds to decide on what they want to do for the rest of their life.
And also go to college. To like go to the military and be police officers? Ooh.
Right. Yeah, that's scary.
Your brains aren't
Obviously
with it.
It's not like every decision they have to make, they're like, well, I don't know. And then they make the bad one.
In
times of stress and pressure when they. Or maybe in a situation they've never been in before, I think they're more likely to.
They'll choose the decision that comes to them first and not really think it through.
Right.
Sometimes. Not saying, you know, everybody is like.
No, them. Not right.
Just
right.
They're more likely to.
Yeah.
So this is a peek inside the 19-year-old boy brain. He probably didn't think about getting charged with murder. He probably just thought, if I throw a hammer at her, maybe
she'll stop talking.
But also, like. If she wasn't going to report you for the noise, which
she's definitely going to report you throwing a hammer at her. I mean, what? Oh, gosh.
She didn't seem like the type of person, at least from, you know, the little bit I read on her, that would get all up in arms. She literally just went out there and was like, hey, can you keep it down, please? I'm trying to do some work.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, you're a construction worker. What are you supposed to do? Not make noise? I mean, it just comes with the job. I mean, right. There's nothing you can do about that. You have to get your job done. But
so that was what he said originally happened. And then he followed her back to the apartment where they entered a struggle. And then her death resulted from a fall. I guess maybe like a fall and hit her head. So later he changed his story, saying that he saw Shelley on his break, followed her to the apartment, and then assaulted her and rendered her unconscious.
That makes more sense, because if she hit her head, she'd have like a skull fracture or
blood on her face.
Or bruises or something.
Yes.
It wouldn't just be asphyxiation.
So after he had rendered her unconscious, he hung her in the bathroom, and then she would have died from the strangulation because she was just unconscious, she wasn't dead.
Right.
So evidence supports the second confession, as there wasn't the expected amount of gypsum dust on Shelley's shoes, as she was still alive when she was hanged. So I guess there was, like, construction maybe going on in the bathroom, and there was, like, some gypsum dust in the bathroom, so she didn't have any on her shoes, like you would expect if you had been to the bathroom and,
yeah,
like, done all that and hanged yourself.
Done a lot of stuff in there, yeah.
So everyone thought that this was an actual confession to the murder, but worries grew that if Pilko was charged, then he would go back to the first story and receive a lesser charge. I mean, the first story is still pretty bad. She was like, hey, can you stop making so much noise? And then he apparently threw a hammer at her.
Yeah, see, that means, I mean, I would think maybe the second one is more defined as premeditation, because
right.
You're following somebody home. It's not like an on-the-spot altercation that resulted in something. It's more like, oh, I see her and I'm going to follow her.
I definitely think the second one is worse.
Yeah, and I also think it's probably more likely what happened.
Oh, yeah. Pilko was charged with first-degree manslaughter, pled guilty, and received 25 years in prison without parole. I guess he wasn't deported. Do you know how that works? I guess maybe if you commit a crime in America, you have to stay in America. But I feel like there have been some people who have been deported.
Maybe it depends
on
the situation.
You know, like that show Walked Up Abroad. That's a scary show.
Yeah. I think maybe it depends on the situation or your status or...
Maybe. During the 2008 sentencing, Shelley's husband and some of her family said that they would never forgive Pilko, and her husband said he hoped Pilko would, quote, rot in jail. Ostroy later sued the contracting company that hired Pilko on the grounds that if he hadn't been hired, his wife would still be alive, but they dismissed the lawsuit stating that they didn't know Pilko would murder his wife.
Accurate.
So after his wife's death, Shelley's husband founded the Adrian Shelley Foundation that supports female filmmakers. So way to go. That's great.
That's awesome.
We support that. Speaking about his wife, Ostroy said, quote, Adrian was the kindest, warmest, most loving, generous person I knew. She was incredibly smart, funny, and talented. A bright light with an infectious laugh and a huge smile that radiated inner and outer beauty. She was my best friend and the person with whom I was supposed to grow old.
Oh, that's sad.
It is sad.
That's really sad.
Well,
would you it's like always that like few seconds where we're like super awkward and then we're sad and we're thinking about how bad it is that people have passed away and then we're like, let's eat.
Okay.
It's kind of emotional eating. Maybe that should be what our podcast should be called, emotional eating.
We can't keep changing the name.
I know. I just keep coming up with good names.
Elijah, are you ready to bring on the weird?
Yes, well, I am. Are you ready to bring on the weird?
Did you just make a Will I Am joke?
Yeah, I did.
Nice. I'll allow it. Anyway, we're just a couple of harmless guys digging into weird things we don't know much about.
We're just trying to figure out what the hell is happening in the world outside our homes.
Do we get things wrong?
Without a doubt.
Are we learning from those mistakes?
Not anytime soon.
Are you entertained by the crap we're talking about?
Of course. That's why I always listen to the show.
You listen? Alright, what do you like to listen to about the show?
I like aliens, conspiracies, cryptids, NWO, shadow government, you name it.
What? But, oh, hold on. Do the aliens come from inside the Earth instead of interstellar travel? What made the conspiracy start? Why did that cryptid evolve to do the things it does? Who runs this NWO?
Listen in as we dive into all manners of subjects as we bring on the weird.
You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Reddit. You can listen to clips of our episodes on our YouTube channel.
Listen, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser.com. You can also listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Should I pull from the shelf or the magic bag? We have a lot of snacks, so I think we have to eat two.
Okay. Well, we have three more episodes.
Yeah. Well, we have like eight snacks.
Oh.
You went crazy at the store.
I did. I got really excited. Let's do the magic bag.
Okay. Here we go. Oh, I keep reaching into the handle part and not the bag part. What's this? It's a whistle pop.
A whistle pop. This will be a treat for the mouth and the ears.
Oh. All right. So we have, they're both strawberry. Okay.
Yeah. They only had one flavor.
Ooh. So I have a very distinct memory.
We need to take a picture, by the way.
Oh, okay. I have a very distinct memory of eating these at the neighborhood pool. In my old neighborhood.
Mm.
And I don't know why that sticks out so much in my mind, because I was probably very young. But these are, if you don't know what these are Chupa Chups. Usually circular, but today they are cylindrical.
Were they suckers? Were they cylindrical? I mean, were
no,
they
Chupa Chups are usually cylindrical.
Oh, but because it's a whistle pop.
This, no, spherical. Sorry. Chupa Chups are spherical. Whistle Pops.
It sounds like you're speaking another language. Chupa Chupa spherical.
But Whistle Pops are cylindrical.
Okay.
And the whole premise is that it's a sucker that has a whistle in it. Well, not like a... It's carved
it's
to
made
be
into
a whistle.
A whistle. Okay, let's open it up.
Okay. I'm trying to find a place where you don't hear much of the sound from the wrappers.
Mm.
That was one of the reasons we got so much of this new equipment. Can you hear my stomach growling?
Yeah, I just heard that. All right.
I'm having a hard time opening this.
Super excited. You have to kind of peel it from the top. I'm really excited about making noises. All right.
Should we take a picture of the, What? Yeah.
Oh, I forgot!
You can change the
You
tone.
Can change the tune. It's got a little stick you pull out from the bottom.
Should we take a picture of the actual pop? You want to take a picture of your pop?
So yeah. Why don't we take a video? That's so fun.
Hopefully you guys heard that. Ooh, that's really loud in the microphone. You may need to back up. That was really loud.
This is delicious. I don't even care how they taste. It's more about...
You just said this is delicious. I don't even care how it tastes.
It's delicious, but I could care less. It's more about the fun.
You couldn't
care And it's less. Actually really good.
It is pretty good. It's strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a nice, like, tart strawberry flavor.
Yeah, I like this a lot. I give this 10 stars. It does exactly what it's supposed to do, and it tastes good.
It's also a great pop if you have a small child that is maybe prone to choking on things, because it's got an air hole.
True. And it can have, it can have an extra long stick.
Excuse me?
You can make it have an extra long stick.
Right, what is
oh my gosh! Did you know that
too loud.
Did you know that there? I didn't even know. Look,
there's a song.
There's a song on the inside
on
of
the wrapper. Yeah, but I would like to know.
There's numbers on the long stick that correspond.
Oh my gosh! No way. Well, I can't read the numbers. Oh yes, I can. Do you have the same song as I do?
I have Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Oh my gosh!
I have When the Saints Go Marching In. And I have half of another one that I can't read.
I have Yankee Doodle and Frere Jacques.
Oh.
But Yankee Doodle is the only one I can really see. Let's see. Can I play Yankee Doodle? It's kind of hard to see the thing.
I can't even remember how Yankee Doodle goes.
Yankee Doodle.
There it is.
All right, let's see. Here is Yankee Doodle, performed by
Caitlin and
Jonah Mercury on the Whistle Pop. All right, I gotta make sure I'm on the right.
Just a little bit of a safety precaution here. I just cut my tongue on it.
Oh, no.
I'm bleeding.
You're bleeding?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
Do you still give it a 10 out of 10?
Yes. Because it was my own fault.
All right, here we go.
Nope.
I feel
is
like,
hardly a commercial for these.
I feel like I had it kind of close. The beginning was good. But the thing is, like, you can't really tell when you're, like, sliding the bottom part of the stick. So I can't tell if I'm on 3 or 7. But it's a great concept. I love a whistle pop.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Now that we've talked for 30 minutes on whistle pops. All right.
Should we eat another one?
We should, real quick.
Okay. I can't guarantee that it's going to be real quick, depending on what it is. My tongue is still bleeding.
Maybe I should pick from the shelf.
Okay. What is it?
Let's do a nerd's rope.
Oh, yes!
So we had some really nice people on Twitter suggest snacks for us. And this is the first snack that we have come to from the suggestions. Although, I will say baby bottle pops were kind of close to the fanboy and the hater suggestion, which was pixie sticks. So, Ross from I Understood That Reference said nerds. And Bring On the Weird said, how about nerds rope? So,
do they have nerds in Ireland?
I would imagine so, if Ross has suggested it.
Wow.
Ross is our friend from across the pond.
I love nerds. Did you know that they have chewy nerds now?
Yes.
Giant chewy nerds? Are they good?
They're kind of similar to a nerd's rope experience.
Yeah.
So if you've never heard of a nerd's rope, it is like a jelly snake covered in nerds. Pretty simple concept.
Here, I'm going to take a video of you wiggling the rope.
We really need you to go to our Instagram and our Twitter and watch these things, because out of context, they just sound so bad.
Yeah, go to our page and you can see what we're talking about.
Our social media.
Otherwise, it's just weird.
Below. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Oh, it's a big noise. Wiggle it. Yeah! It's basically jelly covered in nerds.
This is a great social distance snack, which are tiny, crunchy tar candies. Because Amy can reach across our 6-foot table and grab the other end, and we can just go
ahead.
Can
I? I don't think I'm that tall.
Well, my arms make up the difference. I'm trying to grab from the middle here. All right.
It's like a wishbone.
Right.
We'll get the bigger piece.
Oh, that was so much easier to break than I thought.
Yeah, you did.
I am the taller person. I get the taller piece.
Okay.
I love these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can hear us chomping, but... And they're all, like, different colors, different sizes. I wonder how they make a nerd.
It's like a pure sugar crystal.
Yeah, but it's, like little, it's a little candy. Tart. Do you, is this made by Willy Wonka?
I believe so. Willy Wonka himself?
Yeah. The man, the myth, the legend.
The tagline on this packaging says, Rainbow nerds on a chewy, fruity string. Those sweet little sparks, all together they swing. A tasty rope packed with crunchy, sweet nerds. A candy so tasty, there aren't even words.
Wow, it's like a whole poem.
Uh-huh. There is no brand on here.
So we don't know if it's Wonka certified. This is such a fun thing to eat. It's fruity, sour, sweet, chewy, crunchy.
Just all the combos. And it's like, it's sweet, but it's also got sort of like a tangy thing.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like with the Whistle Pop, it's just
super sugar. Sweet. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to get into my story.
Would you like me to play background music on my Whistle Pop for you?
Yes, please. The year was 1922. A man in a dimly lit room sneezes.
Everyone has corona now.
And in the tissue, a bloody paw print.
We have three more episodes. No, we have two more episodes to record after this, and we've already gone crazy.
It's like 2.5, really.
I really hope we haven't lost you guys in the first two episodes.
We really might have. I'm so sorry.
I mean, first we gave you a 3-hour episode, and then we just gave you something about
nonsense.
And Tamara, and now we're just giving you complete nonsense. Like we said, it really has to be a special listener.
Yeah.
And we appreciate all of you.
All two of you. So everybody knows who Marvin Gaye is, right?
That's Marvin Gaye and Get It On.
Well, that's by Charlie Puth.
Puth?
Is that how you say his name?
Puth.
Puth?
Puth.
Puth?
Like Booth.
Puth?
Yeah.
Is there an L in it?
No.
Oh. I just made that up. Charlie Puth.
That's your stage name.
Marvin Gaye wrote the song Let's Get It On. Or I don't know if he wrote it, but he performed it. He was a Motown Records songwriter, singer, and producer in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. The best time for music. Marvin gained huge popularity in the 70s and was known as the Prince of Motown and the Prince of Soul. Marvin Gaye was really, really successful as an artist, but unfortunately, mental problems and substance abuse got in the way of a healthy lifestyle. So, towards the end of his life, throughout his career, he had been in rehab, he had gotten sober, he had relapsed a few times, and in the later part of his life, he ended up kind of relapsing again, and was, I think it was some sort of a mental problem. I don't know if it was brought on by drugs or what, but he was convinced that he was going to get killed during a show or out in public. And I think it's just kind of like the craziness of like crowds screaming his name and yeah. People taking his picture all the time and wanting autographs and wanting to see him all the time. And plus any drugs would have maybe amplified that a lot. So ironically, he relied heavily on drugs and alcohol to make life bearable. But he still had really bad depression and anxiety a lot in the last few years of his life. Growing up, Marvin had a really rocky relationship with his father, who was also named Marvin. We'll call him Marvin Sr. Because that was his name.
It's like back at the Twins episode. We got Marvin and Marvin.
Marvin and Marvin. So Marvin Sr. was not only a minister, but he also ruled with an iron fist. And he had many scandals all over town regarding his sexuality. All of this created an unstable and chaotic relationship between Marvin and his father. It's just a terrible relationship. Obviously, Marvin had moved out of his house when he started to become successful, but in August of 1983, he moved back in with his parents to help care for his mother after she had some surgery. I was wondering about this, like, why wouldn't he just be like, here, come to my villa? I mean, I'm assuming he had a villa. I don't know what Marvin Gaye's house looked like, but he had a lot of money, so I figured he had a nice house.
Right.
So I would have been like, well, Mom, just come stay with me, and then we can just leave Dad to do his crazy thing.
Probably he didn't want to like move her out of the home where she was comfortable and
maybe
used to things.
Or maybe he lived like far away from where she was having surgery and couldn't travel or something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe people knew where he lived and he wanted more privacy mm-hmm. for her.
Yeah. So obviously being back in the house with his mom and dad, the relationship between Marvin and his father became worse and worse. Marvin's siblings even recalled them all being in the house together, and the two Marvins would just be in an all-out brawl, basically, fighting, and they would just have to leave the house because it was just too much. A missing insurance letter became the fateful center of a heated argument in the Gaye household. Marvin usually would have to break up fights between his mother and his father regarding this argument. I guess it was some kind of letter that maybe the money was going to go to Marvin, or it was going to go to the mom, and he wanted it to be to him. I think it might have been like a life insurance policy situation. After several days of yelling and fighting on the afternoon of April 1st, 1984, Marvin's father was yelling at his mother about the letter, to which Marvin Jr. kept telling his father to back off. So he was like constantly trying to break up this fight between his mom and dad. Eventually, the fight got physical, and Marvin pushed his father to the ground and began kicking him over and over. After several minutes, Marvin returned to the room. So Marvin pushed his father down and beat him.
Right.
I think I read it was because Marvin Sr. was threatening to get physical with his mom. So he was like, no.
Okay.
And knocked him to the ground and started to beat him. So then Marvin Jr. left his dad on the ground and went to his mom to make sure that she was okay and to try to protect her. And Marvin's father followed him, shooting him in the chest with a pistol that Marvin had bought his father for Christmas for protection. Marvin was announced dead at the hospital, Marvin Gaye. So he basically gave his dad the murder weapon that killed him.
Yeah.
For Christmas. It's kind of a weird Christmas gift.
Well, I mean, not if you're into that kind of stuff. He could have given it to him for protection, or maybe his dad is like a
gun nut.
A purveyor of,
like my husband.
Pistols and knives. I wouldn't say your husband is a gun nut.
He's a gun morsel.
Takes care of the ones he has.
Yes, he does. And ironically, he says, it's to protect our house. I said, we don't have a house because you keep buying guns.
You'd be able to protect something.
Yeah.
If you just settled with one.
Right. So Marvin's depression and anxiety had led to suicidal thoughts more and more frequently as the end of his life came, and he had basically just been completely at wit's end with his life. I think he was super overwhelmed with everything that was going on, fame-wise, and then at home it was just even worse. And coupled with the fact that he had mental illness, he had spoken about suicide a lot. Marvin's mother told police after he died that it was always known in the house that if any of the kids attacked or assaulted Marvin's father in any way, he would kill them. Marvin Sr. had always said, you lay a hand on me and you will die. You know, not touch your dad.
It's kind of extreme.
It is. It's a little crazy. Especially when he was like, okay, let's fight. You know, like, wow.
That sounds a little bit like premeditation to me.
So the theory is that Marvin, knowing this, seemed to take that into account during his last altercation with his father, felt overwhelmed, felt like he needed his life to end, and kind of used his dad as a way to do that. Marvin's brother, who was with him as he passed away, stated that Marvin said, quote, I got what I wanted. I couldn't do it myself, so I had him do it. It's good. I ran my race. There's no more left in me. Unquote.
Wow.
Marvin's...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I didn't... When we told this story last time, I didn't even know Marvin Gaye had died.
Me neither.
I thought he was still alive and well.
Yeah, and I certainly didn't know it was like this, that right, he died like right. this. Marvin's father was arrested 20 minutes after the shooting. He was just sitting on the front steps when the police got there. And everybody knew it was him, so right. he's just like, okay.
Take me in.
Yep. During a checkup at the jail, a brain tumor was actually found at the base of his skull. He had surgery to remove the tumor and was found competent to stand trial. Because of the tumor and because of the fact that Martin Sr. was so badly beaten by his son before the murder, the judge ruled to agree to a plea bargain and he was sentenced to a suspended sentence and 5 years probation for killing his son.
Kind of on purpose.
Well, definitely on purpose if you take a gun and point it at somebody and shoot them.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like it was self-defense. He had literally said before, if you punch me, I will shoot you and kill you.
Yeah, I don't... That's... Yeah. It's just sad that somebody who was so talented and brought so much joy to people through his music lived such a tumultuous life.
Right.
That's just really sad. I think that's what
a lot of celebrities struggle with.
Oh, yeah.
They go from completely normal to... all this attention on them, and you know that's a hard thing to cope with, and they just choose a coping mechanism that isn't the best for them,
and it's almost always drugs or alcohol or both.
Well, because when you're a celebrity,
all that's kind of available to
yeah
you.
Yeah, it's very easily accessible.
Yeah, it's really sad. So, you know, I don't know if the brain tumor had any impact on his decision to bring a gun to the fist fight.
Well, if it was at the base of his skull, it's like his cerebellum.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot on decision-making there.
No. But it can cause you to act erratically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he'd been saying forever like that he was...
Known
he had known, like, and obviously Marvin Gaye knew that as well.
Right.
So, really sad.
It's very sad.
I feel like we always end our podcast with the words very sad.
Very sad.
So, yeah. I mean, just know that just because we are trying to bring a little bit of comedy to this, we do know how sad and really heartbreaking that these deaths that happen at the hands of others are.
Amy and I deal with tragedy through comedy.
Yes. Well, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed these stories. Hope you learned a little bit. Hope you didn't mind our rambling and our... madness, and look on Instagram for our videos on the snacks that we made today.
Speaking of Instagram,
we didn't make them, we ate them.
You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Eat Crime. You can also find us on Facebook at Eat Crime Pod. We're trying to do more there. We don't do a whole lot, but we're trying. We're thinking about it.
We're always thinking about it. Execution is another thing.
And you can also email us if you have any story suggestions or stories from your life. Maybe we can get into that now that we've established this podcast at podcastck@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear from you.
Please leave us a review. Unless it's mean, then please don't leave it because we're sensitive.
But if you have any recommendations, I mean, they can always, like, email us or something. Maybe,
open to constructive criticism.
Yeah. But if it's just through like, I don't like letter. Your bangs, I just keep that to yourself.
Ugh, I'm out of here.
We will delete your comment.
Okay.
All right, thanks for listening.
That's it.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.